All right, hey guys, we are going to do our best traditions in college football draft. So joining me, Bill, Greg, Brett, they've done plenty of stuff with us before. We're airing this about 2 weeks before the college football season ends. This is probably going to air sometime around Thanksgiving, but we're going to have just a little bit of fun with it because, you know, there's so many great college football traditions. I think that's what makes college football a little bit more special and a little bit better, honestly, than the NFL, in at least in a sense. But we are going to go with 20 picks total. We'll give some honorable mentions at the end, but our draft order, we're going to go batting style order. So it's just going to go Greg first. I'm going to go second. Bill is going to go third. Brett is going to go fourth, and then it'll just repeat all the way down. So one thing we did agree to, you can see it in Brett's background if you're watching, obviously on my sweatshirt, and all four of us happen to be Ohio State graduates. So we are just going to call this, instead of the best traditions in college football draft, we're going to call it the Script Ohio Draft. That way that eliminates that from being picked, takes out our bias, because I think a lot of us would probably have taken that first overall. So it kind of opens the board a little bit. So with that said, Greg, I'm going to throw it over to you. You have the first pick of the draft.
Okay. Well, this is not easy when, especially when you take Script Ohio out of the equation, but you know, most of these traditions we're going to talk about go back, you know, upwards of over 100 years. Right. But I'm actually going to pick one that is a new tradition. I think it started in 2017. And it's, I guess, never fails to make me a little bit misty eyed. It's actually the wave that they do at Kinnick Stadium at Iowa to the, Children's Hospital. It's awesome. It's, you know, very rarely or any, I would say most of these traditions that we are going to cover don't involve like both teams at any time. Right. So it's like an opportunity to step outside of the game. They do it at the end of the first quarter. It's really a perfect thing and pretty amazing. So I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. That, I mean, it's just so good. And like you said, it's a new tradition, but I think that's one everybody can kind of agree on. That's pretty, pretty awesome. And it's at the end of the first quarter, if I remember right too.
Yep.
So it's not like too late in the game where people are like a little too antsy or anything like that too, but it's, you're right. That's just a really, really great, great thing that they came up with. I have a lot of Big Ten things on my list here, and maybe, I don't know if that's because we're kind of in Big Ten country here, but I'm going to stick with another Big Ten school here. And I guess this one, the song's probably about 30 years old, but I'm going to go with Wisconsin's Jump Around. I don't know. It's just awesome. And even as a road, you know, a team, I love seeing like even like Ohio State do it when they go in. But when you see the fans jump around there, literally, you know, I've heard it creates literally seismic waves that shakes the stadium and will, you know, whatever, like a Richter scale type, like small tremor that it creates. So Jump Around at Wisconsin, I'm going to have as my with the number two pick here.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that we've got two like relatively new compared to all these other ones that we're going to really go through today. But these are like two of the newest ones. And I agree with both of you. I think they're actually two of the best.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. And what is that? House of Pain? House of Pain, which the other thing I think of when I think of Jump Around is Mrs. Doubtfire too. So, so Wisconsin's got it. Mrs. Doubtfire's got it, but that's like an iconic song for a fairly, you know, that's kind of almost a one hit wonder rap group. They had a couple other smaller songs, but you know, that song became legendary. So, all right, Bill, you have the third pick. We're going to head it over to you.
All right. Sticking with the new age traditions, I'm actually going to go with Enter Sandman with Virginia Tech. Nice. I feel like every time that happens, I'm always betting on them, and they're playing either Clemson or Notre Dame or someone I really don't like, and then they never actually win. But it's just cool to get me hyped up, and I'm like, all right, this is the night. And then it never is, but for that moment, it is.
That is such a great song, too. A great song. And the beat to it and everything. Very, very good. Okay. Brett, it is to you.
I didn't think I'd go this one, but I'm going to. I'm going to go with the Army-Navy march-in.
Nice. That's a good
one. I think just the respect. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's just amazing that it's fun to watch, and I'm glad these, especially because I think now it's the only game that week, I believe. I don't know if that was always the case, but now it's really the only game they play that week.
That's true.
So, yeah. So I think it's great. They really get the recognition. They get all the eyes on them.
That's awesome. Yeah, it was cool last year to see them on campus for like the first time since like World War II, but you know, that game's usually played in Philadelphia. I'm not sure where it's being played this year, but you're right.
It's been played in Baltimore a couple times.
Sometimes, they might as well play it in Washington, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're right, though. That's such a cool tradition in their uniforms and everything walking in. Very good. Very good. All right, so to wrap up the first round, we got the Iowa Wave, Wisconsin Jump Around, Virginia Tech, Enter Sandman, and the Army-Navy March in. So we're going to start round two. And Greg, you are up with pick number five.
All right. I'm going to keep this in the Big Ten. And even though, I do not love this school at all, I respect the Penn State whiteout. I think that is, all these teams, and you see it in different sports, try to do and with all due respect, the Scarlet Out was pretty cool a couple of weeks ago too. I mean, there's blackouts. There's nothing like the Penn State whiteout. And I think everybody would probably agree with that. It's an incredible atmosphere. I've never actually been there for it, and I've never been to that stadium, but got to give props to Penn State for really kind of starting. I guess you could say they started that concept. Mm-hmm. They also started playing Seven Nation Army in games too. So they are a bit of trendsetters up there, but
thanks for ruining that song, Penn State.
But they have, when Ohio State goes to Penn State and it's a night game, it's one of my favorite games on the schedule all the time. Mm-hmm. And you're in for a battle, and it's going to be loud as hell.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Yeah, I've been to that stadium once, but it was for a Nebraska-Penn State game, and it was like a 3:30 kick, so it didn't quite have that same vibe, but that's an intimidating place to go as a road team, for sure. That's a good pick there, Greg. All right, I am up for the sixth pick overall. I have so many, like, obscure and all-over-the-place ones, so I am going to go with more of a I'm going to stay actually in the Big Ten because I've seen this one, knew someone that played for Nebraska, and they have a tunnel walk that they do, and they play it to the Alan Parsons Project Sirius, which was the Chicago Bulls opening. And they, when Bo Pelini coached there, and then, and now it's Scott Frost, but they basically, tell them when to go. They open the door and the camera just follows them out. They walk down this tunnel to this song. They're high-fiving their fans on the side, but then they come out and the whole stadium, which is like, the biggest city, second biggest city on game day in the state of Nebraska, it's like 85,000, and they've had like 56 years of consecutive sellouts. But I'm going to go with that tradition. I just think that's really, really cool. And, actually seeing it in person too, brings a new light to it. So I'm going to go with the Nebraska tunnel walk with the sixth pick here. So that takes us to Bill. You got lucky number seven.
All right. I'm going to go with one that it's kind of like not super known, but a lot of people that do know it really like it, is the red bandana game for Boston College. So, like, if you guys don't know, I think it was, yeah, during 9/11, son of, like, Boston College's, like, one of their, like, lacrosse players was, like, going into, like, the, like, debris and, like, guiding people out. And, like, all he had a red bandana on. People were like, oh, the guy with the red bandana. So, like, in September, they play a game and they wear, like, these jerseys that have, like, the, like, bandana, like, embroidering in, like, the numbers and stuff. And, I don't know, they usually always cover that game, too. So, for you bettors out there, it's a good game to bet Boston College. But, yeah, red bandana game is my pick.
Bill turning a nice, awesome story, cool tradition into some degenerate gambling. These are
things you have to look at.
I was going to say, what a degenerate, Bill.
No, that's a good one. Actually, that's one I didn't have on my list, but now I think of it, it's awesome. Go ahead, Greg.
Did they play that game yet this year then?
I think they did it last weekend, and they did it like another weekend because they didn't do it last year. They did it like twice, but
okay.
I think they did.
I'll have to keep an eye on that for see.
Yeah.
How they, purposes.
How they, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I would think that would be around either Veterans Day, which was last weekend, or 9/11, so which would be like second weekend of the year. All right, very good. Red bandana game, Boston College. All right, we have Brett. We're coming to you for the 8th pick.
Yeah, I'm going to stick in with a little horseshoe pattern here. Not necessarily Ohio State, though. We are going to go out west a little bit and go with Ralphie's Run.
Nice.
Colorado. Nice.
Brett, have you been there?
I've been to the stadium. I haven't seen a game there.
Same here.
We visited. We just kind of like walked around the stadium. We tried to see if we can get in, but we weren't able to figure
out. Honestly, maybe the most beautiful stadium in all of college football.
It was really nice. I mean, the whole campus itself is just quite amazing. So it was cool. Would definitely love to get a game in there, though. So.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely recommend checking that stadium out if you've never been. Very, very cool. All right. So round two, we got Penn State's whiteout, Nebraska's tunnel walk, the red bandana game from Boston College, and Ralphie's Run in Boulder, Colorado for the University of Colorado. Very good. So we are to our 9th pick. Greg, we're going to lead off with you.
Okay. I'm going to preface this by saying people that go to Texas A, Texas A&M is kind of like a weird cult, kind of has a weird feel to it. I apologize if anybody knows anybody that went to Texas A&M. It's always just a little weird when you talk to somebody that went to Texas A&M. But that aside, the 12th man kind of tradition is really cool. You know, having a walk-on to wear number 12. And, you know, just the whole concept of the 12th man, I'm sure. I don't know if they were the first to ever coin their fans the 12th man. But definitely kind of a neat tradition. I'm going to go with that one semi-reluctantly, but it is a good tradition.
Here's my question, though. When they score that first touchdown, why did they always focus the camera on the two ugliest people in the stands making out? That's kind of a CBS tradition there.
Yeah.
But no, you're right.
A lot of things that happen there that I don't understand.
Cult is a good word. Respectfully, Texas A&M.
Yeah. It's just different. It's just a little different. You know, Ohio State fans are crazy, but it's just when you talk to somebody that went to A&M, they're just like a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Different's a good word.
Yeah. Different is a really good word. I like, yeah. All right. I have the 10th pick here. There is a good amount of good stuff here, but I am going to go with, this is tough. As much as I don't like their head coach, and I'm not in love with the school, this is an amazing tradition, the Clemson Run and Howard's Rock. So I'm gonna go with that. As much as I would love to see Dabo tumble down that hill, but that Clemson's Run in Howard's Rock is pretty sweet. So I'm gonna go with that one.
take? I don't really get it. Like, they just run down a hill. People act like they came down from heaven.
Don't they bus them over there?
Yeah, because the locker room's like on the other end of the stadium.
It is.
Can you imagine if like Urban was like, "Hey, Urban, we gotta like take the players around the other side." It'd be like, "What? No."
Yeah. I'm more surprised we haven't seen someone fall like a coach like down that. Sure, that's a steep hill.
It's steep as hell.
Yeah.
Who would you rather see tumble, Dabo or Brent Venables?
Ooh. Dabo, 100 times out of 100.
I don't know. I'd like to see that that neon green hat get all muddy and.
You know,
well that's true.
Well, you know, Herb Street would be analyzing the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I got to go Dabo on that question too. That's a all right. So I'm still sticking with Clemson, the Howard's Rock rundown, even though, and again, like Bill said, you got to drive him around. It's weird. He doesn't understand it. But again, that's kind of why we're doing this, because college football is just weird and different and cool. So that's my pick. Bill, we're going to go to you with number 11.
All right. This one gets kind of annoying for a lot of people, but I don't know why I have a soft spot for Florida State, but I do. We'll go with the Tomahawk Chop. A little controversy pick, but I don't know. It's something about, especially when they were good and like the whole stadium's doing it and they're walking to the entrance and the chief comes out and throws the spear. Like, I just think that's so sweet.
That is cool.
Chief, it's like Osceola. And like the one thing, you know, obviously Indians, you know, had to get changed and all that stuff. And but the Seminole tribe gave them permission to like be cool with that name for the university.
Yeah.
So that kind of adds to the mystique of it a little bit too. So that's a good one. All right, Brett, you got number 12.
Yeah. I'm going to stick with the animals here. I'm going Auburn War Eagle.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm not an Auburn fan. I just always thought that was cool.
Mm-hmm. It is,
and the whole story behind that I don't remember, but yeah, that's...
yeah, like no, I know they say War Eagle, but like,
yeah,
well, I know, I mean, they let an eagle go and he like flies around the stadium. I don't know what they actually do to get him to do that,
right? So
clearly, they're training him with something and they're enticing him to get to them, but he basically flies around the stadium, and if I remember correctly, it's just before the game. So I know like Ralphie was like before each half, I think. And I think the War Eagle is just to start the game.
Okay. All right.
There is like a whole backstory to what the significance of the War Eagle is.
And well, yeah.
Off to dates back like over 100 years.
Oh, actually, no. I just scrolled over and it says, according to legend, the first War Eagle was recovered on the Civil War battlefield. And it just, as Auburn grew, they just started using that sort of tradition.
Okay. All right. Very good. So we have, I'm going to give, you know, I know Greg said the Texas A&M has another tradition. I'm just going to add this onto your pick. But they have the night before games, they literally have yell practice at the stadium. So another,
oh, just adding to that cult,
adding to that little weirdness.
You can add that, but I would like you to note that I did not pick that one, because that was one that I was like, that one's a little too weird for me.
Yeah.
You can lump them together. It's okay. Yeah.
Association.
I'm just lumping the school together, not the pick. All right. So we got Texas A&M 12th man. We have the Clemson tradition running down the hill at Howard's Rock, the Tomahawk Chop at FSU, and we have the Auburn War Eagle. That is our third round. We're going to go to the fourth round here. Greg, you're going to lead off the fourth round with pick number 13.
Okay, I'm going to go with another animal-related tradition here. I'm going to go with the Sooner Schooner. And I actually have a really quick story on this, because it's hilarious, and I'm pretty sure it's untrue, But I used to work for a guy, and he'll remain nameless. but he played football at Kansas State, and his son played football at Kansas State. And he claimed that, in this part, I believe, I think now they just run the schooner out at the beginning of the game, I believe. He said that the schooner used to take a lap around the field after every touchdown. I've looked this up three ways from Sunday, but he said that one year when he was in school, like, they lost to Oklahoma like 72-0, and the horse ran around the field so many times that it dropped dead like around the fourth quarter. But
there's no documentation.
There's no documentation that actually occurred. But it's a good, it makes for a good story when you talk about how bad Oklahoma kicked.
Oh, for sure.
I thought that was a hilarious story. If anybody ever finds that, let me know. But needless to say,
people got mad at Baker Mayfield for planting a flag. These guys are burying a horse.
And he's like, and he like closed the story. He's like, yeah, we were all walking off the field after the game. He's like, I looked at that horse and I said, I know how you feel, buddy.
I thought, true, oh, it's weird. I thought you were going to go like, it was like a Seinfeld thing. We're going to go to the Seinfeld reference where the horse's name was Rusty and he kept shitting on the sideline the entire game. And after 72.
Could have been that too. But.
I do remember a game. It wasn't too long ago. It was within the last 2 or 3 years where they ran that on the field and the horse turned so fast the whole carriage flipped over.
Yeah.
there's a good, like, you know, gif of that out there somewhere, so you can look that one up. All right.
Wait, for we should have been used this weekend when they lost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Falling off the bandwagon. All right. I'm going to go with pick 14 here. And again, there's just so many damn good picks. But I'm going to go back to a music pick here. I think music has a lot to do with college football. I am going to go Country Roads, West Virginia. So,
yep.
I just think, I mean, that freaking John Denver, I mean, he might not have known where those Rocky Mountains were, but he can sing a damn song about West Virginia. I don't
know if he's as full of shit as people make him seem out to be.
Funny, this is a story again, too. I don't know if this is true. But apparently, the story is about a guy driving to Ohio. So I don't know. I think it might be a guy from like Steubenville or something like that. So I don't know how accurate that is. Somebody maybe a little smarter than me can do some research on that. But I've heard that at some point.
Imagine singing to go back to Steubenville.
Yeah, Steubenville basically is West Virginia, but you know.
Man, can't wait to get back to Steubenville.
that's why he's admiring the country roads. But all in all, it's a cool tradition. I've been to a West Virginia game, but I haven't been there at the end when Greg knows I have a college football tradition of generally leaving at halftime because we generally go to Buckeye games when they're up by 40 points at the half. So but West Virginia does that, I think, at the end of the games. And I just, you know, I've heard that's a really cool thing to be there for. So, all right. So we got two picks in to the, we in the fourth round here. We are going to Bill. You got pick number 15.
All right. This isn't one that's technically pertained to a specific school, but the flyover at the national anthem.
Okay.
That's going to be my tradition. I'm just a sucker for a good flyover. So, yeah, that's my pick. Even though it's like a big game, too, the juices are flowing, national anthem, patriotism's in the air. And then it's like, whoa.
That is cool. Let me ask.
There was a great one at the – you were at the Oregon game, right, Billy?
Yeah,
the stealth. There was a great one at the Oregon game.
You guys, are you – if you got to pick a plane to go over, are you a stealth bomber guy? Are you the big, huge, you know, warplane guy or helicopter?
I like the
guy?
Fighter jet. I like the nice, loud, like, like right, like the stealth bomber's cool, but you don't really hear it, and the helicopter's just kind of like, oh wow, and like it takes a second to go over. It's just like,
okay,
but yeah.
All right, yeah.
So that's they had it at the Purdue game, I think, and like I heard it from my apartment, like downtown, like inside. That's how loud it was. So like, yeah.
Okay. All right, very good. All right, we are to Brett. Brett, you got pick number 16.
I'm gonna go a little partial music here. Little,
yeah.
One item that gets included into a band, but we're going over to Purdue with the world's largest drum.
Okay.
Yes.
By the way, didn't Notre Dame ban that from coming in their stadium earlier this year?
I thought they did.
It sounds did. Familiar.
They wouldn't let them go through the home entrance, I think. And they were like, if you want to bring it in, you got to fit it in through the away entrance. And then the engineers over at Purdue thought of a way to like airdrop it in, but it never like came to fruition. But I always thought that'd be sweet.
And that's what cost them the game. That's what cost them the game right there.
People are asking. You hear the question more and more.
I want to know the betting line that changes when that Purdue's world's largest drum isn't allowed at Notre Dame Stadium. That had to change the line by at least 2 points.
Money started flowing heavy over to Notre Dame.
All right, that's a good one, though. I like that. All right, so number 13, we got Sooner Schooner. We got 14, Country Roads, West Virginia. We got 15. Bill's going generic with the flyover, but that is a pretty great tradition. And we are going Brett with Purdue's world's largest drum. All right, we are into our final round here. So, Greg, you're going to lead off with your final round pick here.
All right, I don't even know if this is really a tradition, but I remember it growing up. And I just always thought it would be like one of the cooler things to do in college football. So like Billy said, he's got a soft spot for Florida State. I have like a soft spot for USC when they're good. And first of all, I think Fight On is like the best fight song in all of college football. But like, I know like Leinart did it and like Carson Palmer did it, but I love like when they like win a big game and like the quarterback, it's usually the quarterback like puts the Trojan on and like conducts them. It's pretty awesome.
That is really cool. And
it's just awesome when USC's, I mean, they're just one of those teams when they're good, it makes college football more fun, whether you love them or hate them. But I just thought there's probably nothing better than being the USC quarterback on a good team and Trojan helmet on and conducting the band, and then probably a decent chance you get to go home with one of those sweater girls too, huh?
Well, nice drop after you said after you put the Trojan helmet on too, but another way, yeah. Another NIL deal there.
Yeah, for real.
Well done.
Didn't even realize he did it.
I actually didn't think of it till he said the Trojan sweater girl, so, or the USC sweater girl. So I like it. All right. And what's the horse's name? Traveler? I think it's Traveler.
I think you're right.
I think so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So as long as they're not letting the quarterbacks ride on that thing after the game, I think conducting is a little safer. That's a good one. All right. I have like so many, and I'm like such a like music pumps me up kind of guy. I have not seen this one in person, but South Carolina, as awful as they are, used to be pretty good, and they have an awesome tradition that they come out to Sandstorm by Darude. And it looks very similar to Penn State. White out on a smaller scale, at least in the student section. But I think that's just such a cool, little mini tradition. So I'm going to go South Carolina Sandstorm. And that will take us to Bill for pick number 19.
Yep. Again, the state kind of generic, but I'm just going to go with the Rose Bowl as like a whole entity. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the Rose Bowl is such a great tradition. Like, and nothing's better than the sunset of the Rose Bowl when you're watching the game, the sun setting. I think it's really cool that it's like kind of in the playoff rotation now, because you get to see teams like Oklahoma and Georgia playing it, which was such a great game. Yeah. And like those fan bases get to experience that now, because like it's not like a Pac-12, like Big Ten thing. Mm-hmm. So like a Georgia team is like, when do they ever go to the Rose Bowl besides that?
Right.
So I think the Rose Bowl is just such a sweet tradition.
How about the Rose Bowl with a flyover, Bill?
Man, I mean, talk about the game of the century.
I think he just needs some new shorts right now.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Speaking of shorts, the Rose Bowl apparel is by far the best bowl gear like out of there. When Ohio State plays in the Rose Bowl, I'm like, let me just load up on all this Nike apparel. Just yeah. Take my paycheck.
Yeah, I mean, you're right though. That is probably the prettiest place in all of college football. Like you said, with the sunset. And like the mountains in the background and the palm yeah. trees and all that stuff. That's awesome.
And it always seems like the weather is absolutely perfect. And when you watch a game in the regular season that's played at the Rose Bowl, it almost, I don't know what it is. It doesn't look like it's even in the same stadium as the actual yeah. Rose Bowl game. It's just weird.
No doubt.
Yeah. It's yeah. That's a great thing.
All right.
I feel like we could do 20 rounds.
Oh, I know. Well, you know, we could revisit this in the future, and you guys could throw out some honorable mentions. But Brett, we're going to go to you. Brett's got the final pick here of our draft pick number 20.
So this is something I've been wanting to do for a long time. I know we've talked about going to do this. I think it's probably, I don't know if we've had another one that isn't necessarily like in a stadium or related to like something inside this, you know, a football game, but I'm going with the Grove in Ole Miss.
I mean
it just seems like that would just be an absolute blast. It seems like Ole Miss has like they figured out how to properly tailgate.
Yeah.
So I think the way they handle that, I think it'd just be a lot of fun.
No doubt. You gotta put like that one right up there. Probably the world's largest cocktail party in there too. But yeah,
what used to be called the largest cocktail party. I don't think they call that anymore.
Oh, they don't?
Okay. No, like there's a PC for it now.
Okay. All right. Well,
that's what we know, so we still call it that.
Yeah, that's what I'm calling it. I had no idea on that. All right. So let me wrap up round five here. USC fight on / the quarterback or whoever directing the band. Let's see. I had Sandstorm, South Carolina. Bill had the Rose Bowl, basically just in general, the vibe, the feel of it. And then Brett had the Ole Miss Grove, pretty much the tailgating capital of the world, or at least in the South for sure. So great picks. You guys just want to, we have about 2 or 3 minutes here. If you guys just want to throw out a few honorable mentions.
I think the, pink visiting locker room from Iowa is funny.
That's good.
I'm gonna go with the Texas Michigan preseason overhype.
Well played.
Well done, Bill.
I think we would be all remiss, and our friend Edgar would
not
be happy if we didn't say anything about Notre Dame and all of this. Name your tradition, touchdown Jesus, the fight song, whatever they do with the marching people in kilts or whatever, but I don't know. There's some,
they hit the sign.
I mean, they have, I mean, I've been to numerous Notre Dame games, and it is a great experience, as much as we rag on them. And there's a lot of tradition, obviously, with Notre Dame.
No doubt. Yeah. Play like a champion today.
Yes.
There's a couple that until I started looking this up, I didn't even know about, that are really cool. And as Greg has a soft spot for LA and the Rose Bowl and LA in general, I have a soft spot for Baylor, Waco, Texas. But they have a tradition of the students literally run on the field to the student section. They did that with RG3 earlier this season. I thought that was really cool. The Marshall, the 75 game. Is also, you know, a great tradition. The Power T at Tennessee that they run through. You know, a lot of these schools aren't as good as when I remember these traditions, but you know, those are just some that came to my mind. One other one I want to throw out there, that I had never heard of, but Scott brought it to my attention. He said Texas Tech, they have a tortilla throw after the opening kick. And tortilla I had no idea about that, but I just thought that was kind of cool. So
sounds delicious yet unsanitary at the same time.
They're huge on tortillas down there.
Any other guys before we wrap up here?
I'd go UGA, Georgia.
Okay.
I like the pets. I like the animals.
Yeah. Soft spot for animals and music in this draft for sure. How about, we don't like the SEC schools, but they got a few more. Alabama, Sweet Home Alabama, Roll Tide Roll, they do. There's also an old insurance salesman that they named Mr. Two Bits that they do down in Florida. Just Google it, Mr. Two Bits. It's actually kind of entertaining. Then they bring Spurrier and Warfel and Tebow and all those guys in to do it since he has retired or passed away from it. But
isn't there a Toomey's Corner as well? Is that Toomey's?
Yeah, Tumor's Corner. Yep, that's a good one. Yeah.
All right. All right,
we didn't mention Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, Auburn, just some of those traditional rivalry games. You could go so many directions with it.
No doubt, no doubt. And we'll revisit this for sure. But gentlemen, appreciate you, and we'll do this again in other forms later on. So have a good night. We'll talk to you guys soon.